Hello, hello, and welcome to the CBETS podcast. We're your hosts, Georgina Pilz.
And Ruben Cervantes.
And today is episode 80. This is our season finale.
That's
and
right.
It's exciting, yeah. Honestly.
After 80 episodes, this is the 80th, we are now at a climactic moment in our history as the podcast, CBETS podcast. Yep. We're climaxing, and we're dressed in our Sunday best because today's a special day. We are actually at a milestone moment of our primary learning environment that's called the Foreigner Study Group, which is where Mike Bickle has gone through each of the 150 chapters and taught them systematically, exegetically, you know, expositorially. And he's walked us through the themes found in these scriptures where the primary message is the generation in which the Lord will return. Mm-hmm. And so to celebrate with us in this season finale, we have asked Daniel Lim and Mike Bickle to join us. Guys, thank you so much for coming in this amazing occasion.
Our graduation is like in an hour. So we're doing this right before, so we all dressed up because we are excited and we're committed and impressed and standing alongside these 120 who've gone through the whole 90 weeks.
Right. Amazing. I mean, we've had over 1,000 that have joined us throughout the 3-year process, but there's been 120 who said
all 90 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who ended up doing the quizzes and the papers and the small group studies that verifies that they've studied each of the chapters.
Because we've had others do the 90 weeks, but they didn't do the homework. These are the people who do the homework. Mm-hmm. So question.
Yes.
Why did we do 90 Wednesdays and you only do 80?
Good question. But what I would say...
No, that was a joke. Total joke.
Okay, one of the impressive things about these people who have joined us, they haven't just joined us from America, they've joined us from all over the world, all different time zones, all different culture background. And isn't that beautiful?
Like in Asia, some of them tracked with us live.
That's right.
In the middle of the night.
3 a.m.
Right. No, and I mean, like
England and Cairo, it's like 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Asia's 3 or 4 a.m.
Well, it's early morning. Yeah. Not 5, 6 o'clock.
That's five of them. Oh, my goodness.
So beautiful.
Yeah, but they're graduating. Some of them are graduating.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, and that's what's so phenomenal about it. And, you know, I've heard stories even of like a Brazilian pastor or a Chinese pastor from Shanghai or whatever, that they're like listening to this material and then they're taking it and then themselves being the ones to facilitate this content their leaders. I feel like what the best gift of this, Mike, isn't so much that people are tracking with us. I think the best part of this that brings me most joy is that people are rediscovering the ancient message of Christ's return all over the earth, that it's in their Bible, it belongs to them and to the global church. And that's what really fascinates me.
I would
me.
Say that's 10 times more important than them connecting to us, or 100. I agree.
That's amazing. Did you envision it becoming like this when you first set out to do it?
Well, when I first started, I did not know. I was thinking 50 people would sign
50
up.
And then 120.
I said 50. If we start with 50, you know, for the first module, that will be good. And we got to get a room that seats 50, but let's get 100 in case we get surprised. Mm-hmm. And we were shocked, like 500.
Yeah, over 10.
Right. Mostly 500 have been with us all 6 modules.
Right, yes. Right.
And some number like that. I mean, on the campus, here in person.
That's right. Now. And you know what's interesting about that, Mike, is I actually remember when we designed this program, right? I was the pessimistic one. I was thinking 30. You know, I was like, well, you're Mike Bickle, so it's more than 10, but not more than 30.
Oh, because of the high commitment.
Well, required. Because of the high commitment. And I'm like, who's going to want to do, like, I mean, this is a really nuanced topic in 2017.
That's not popular.
Yeah, like in 2017, there wasn't a wind of relevance. You know, it's like, I mean, yeah, but not really, you know, but let's do it because you're Mike and sure, you'll have 30 and like, I don't know, maybe 50.
I was going for 50.
Yeah. And then we opened registration and we already had like 50 right away. And you're like, no, man, I think we can do 120. And like literally over a few days, it was 400. And I was
amazing.
Like, my brain was breaking because we didn't have a design or infrastructure in place to house it. But you didn't want to shut it down because you just loved the hunger of the people. It was awesome.
You know, Ruben, you kind of remind me, this is not a perfect analogy of the two sons. The one son said, yes, Lord, but didn't do it. And the other son said, huh, what? But then came charging at the end. The end time message. I remember Ruben. Ruben's been here about 12, 13 years. He went, end time message. And the Ruben goes 30, but he charged, and he's the guy that's most committed and most engaged of anybody.
You exposed me. Yes, yes, I remember.
Good job, Ruben. Good job.
Early on, Mike was funny. You know, he's inviting me to help help him and Daniel and others to develop this thing, and I was like, I'm not a good team player here.
Like, I'm not real sure I buy all this stuff. I go, well, give it a little bit of time.
Yeah, that's what I told him. Like, you want someone who's like bought in. Like, I'm actually really questioning our theology here, and you got to leave me alone to do that.
I loved it. No, I loved it. I said, just get in the middle of the conversation because I know you love Jesus and the Bible. That was the vulnerable spot.
Yeah.
I know you love Jesus and the Bible. I said, just get in the conversation and take care of yourself.
Yeah. No, and that's what happened.
How's it changed? Well,
So in order for this to really develop, you know, in the first amount, and we had so much interest and not enough facilitators, right? Because it was so sudden.
Small group facilitators.
Yeah, that's right. It's because each of the chapters, it's not only taught by Mike on a lecture, but there's about an hour and then another hour of eating together if you're local of discussion on the passage, because we didn't want people just to hear more stuff. We wanted them to talk it through and make it a community learning experience. And so we needed facilitators to facilitate those discussions. And we didn't have enough on the front end because it was so sudden, the exponential growth, that I had to become one. But I'm not going to advance our theology. What I'm going to advance is sincere study of the Bible. So I hid very well. And in that process, I was reading Isaiah and I discovered, oh my gosh, I'm busted.
Right.
I have this theological construct, but I haven't stared at the passages. And now I see Isaiah intended something that my former theology just cannot.
Yeah.
And if I want to retain a historical, grammatical understanding of scripture, then I have to see that Isaiah really sees a new Jerusalem like this, which means that therefore, it's really happening.
Yeah.
It's really a historical premillennial approach to how we see this.
I think that's so beautiful. And I wonder, viewers and listeners, how many of you have the same story of not, like, loving the Bible, as you said, but not fully grasping it and not even realizing that it can burn in the hearts. And I want to hear those stories. Yeah. So if you have any of those stories, send them to us. We want to love them and love on you and kind of help continue the charge of the
and on Facebook or YouTube, on the comments, leave your stories. Mm-hmm. We'd love to read them and understand them. Anyway, so that was kind of how we
Ruben,
experienced that.
What one thing that I really observe is that not only you successfully make the transition in terms of discovering the truth of the Bible, but you also found a pathway for people like you who started off Jesus loving, Bible loving, but not sure about how the Bible ought to be approached in terms of historical, grammatical. And then because of your own journey, you design all these different platform and engagement tool to help people like you get into the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's our motto, understand, live, and share. We want to help people to understand, live, and share the complete gospel message, the foreigner message. I mean, when we see John the Baptist announcing the coming of Messiah, you know, we know that when Jesus calls him the greatest of all prophets, that he was laying out that there one day will be a generation like him who will announce his return because he's coming again. And so for me, when we started the podcast, the on-demand courses and all of this, it wasn't out of some ambition or some like, ooh, we can do this, because trust me, at that point I was blindsided. But the hunger in my heart, when you discover the gospel in its density, is that you want to help others see what you've seen. And so the goal has always been, hey, let's look in the Bible. Like, let's look together. Hey, I know this is confusing, but have you thought about this? That kind of a thing. And of course, we're so grateful for our followers. I mean, I didn't expect it to grow as big as it has. And we're just so grateful that you guys are tracking with us, because I believe that the Lord is awakening the global church to this reality, that many will rediscover, like they did in 1904 in the Welsh Revival, and like they did in many times in history, the beauty of Christ's return. That hope, that blessed hope that Titus talks about, is what anchors us, that we can suffer any difficulty, we can weather any storm, because we know that ultimately he's going to return.
Yeah. Love it. It's amazing.
So,
pretty sweet.
Still burning, aren't I?
So, Ruben, in 2017, when this podcast was rolled off, when you began this podcast, one of the tools that you felt that really would help engage the audience conversationally to digest the material. And in 2020, right now, with the context in the society and what's happening around the world, it doesn't take the prophet to know that we really need to know the Bible and what the Bible say about it, not just the cultural and the society narrative.
Right. And it's because of what you've said to us many times, Mike. You know, if you don't adopt the biblical narrative, you will by default embrace the secular narrative.
That's exactly right. Even a fervent believer, because when the negative increases, people will be easily embrace the positive increasing. But when the negative increases, it will look like, I've said 100 times, the train of history is off the track. And even believers will go, Jesus, where are you at? And why didn't my church teach me this? And where's that in the Bible? And it's really hard to adjust when you're under pressure, to shift paradigms. When you're under the pressure, to make strong, big paradigm shifts is hard. It's much easier before the pressure comes to do it incrementally, little by little.
That way you're not caught off guard. You're not blindsided. You're not forced to a default response that you're not used to. That's exactly it. And so I remember, and of course I want you to say them just because it's better if you say it than I, but you you mentioned the acronym FOLD.
FOLD, F-O-L-D, yeah.
Which is fear, offense, deception, and lust. Can you remind us again of that?
Okay, but you got it out of order. Fear,
offense,
deception, and lust. That'd be filed or something. Yeah.
No one can remember that.
No, I have to do it in order or I can't remember it. I go fold.
Fear, offense, lust, and deception. Yeah.
I go F, fold. I actually have to do that. I make acronyms so I can remember.
It's a godsend, isn't it?
No, it really is. Well, Jesus said that many will faint for fear in Luke 21. Yeah. And he's not talking about just unbelievers and atheists. He's talking about people that don't have a grid for a sovereign good leadership being over what's happening. Yeah. Believers, if they don't see Jesus' perfect leadership and it's documented in the Bible ahead of time what he's doing, it looks like no one's leading. Fear. When you grow in when you have fear, you can't grow in love. Offense. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, many will be offended. And we know the offense is horizontal. I mean, horizontal. That's right. Yeah. Not vertical. It's been a long day today.
Right.
And so, but the offense that I care about, that offense between people, but the offense between believers and God, like, I was taught I would never experience this. I was taught that the God of love would never let this happen. I was taught, how could this be you? And if we don't have this clear beforehand, it's hard to work through the fog and the confusion to not be offended at the Lord's leadership.
Right. Yeah.
F-O-L. What's L?
Lust.
Oh, thank you. And so Luke 21, verse 34, Jesus talked about immorality and drunkenness. Just put a whole list there. And it's pleasures, not just for the sake of pleasure. It's self-medicating to escape the pain.
Right.
Yeah. And I believe many people will get into immorality, drunkenness, opioids, drugs, for just the pleasure of it in sin. But many will do it because they're saying, I am so afraid and offended and angry, I have to escape for a few hours.
Right.
And Jesus was explaining the lust in Luke 21, verse 34 and 35, in that context. Self-medicating. That's how I see it.
Right.
F-O-L-D. Deception. He said in Matthew chapter 24 again, this is the only time that I'm aware of where the word many is used twice in one sentence for two different subjects.
Oh, wow.
It's not like many, many. It's no, two different subjects. He goes, many false prophets will deceive many. That's alarming. And of course, the false prophets, in my opinion, aren't those just the, you know, obviously shifty eye guys with horns and ha. There's surely a couple of those guys around, but it's the social narrative.
Right.
It's the social narrative that's opposite, contrary to the biblical narrative. It's a false narrative, is what the false prophets. They're giving an interpretation that isn't the biblical interpretation, and that's happening in many pulpits even right now.
That's right.
It's a false narrative.
Yeah.
And when people hear that, they go, oh. And if you get the false narrative is shared by a really cool, winsome, good communicator, great social media, really wow, hipster. People put their guard down.
Right.
And you get the false narrative, that you get deceived. You buy into the wrong things because there's going to be a false justice movement, a false grace movement, a false unity movement, a false mercy movement. I mean, they all overlap. It's kind of all one big false. And a lot of believers are thinking if you say justice, mercy, love, grace, it's got to be biblical. There's many times people use those terms, but they don't use biblical definitions.
Right, right, right. Which I was caught in before when I rejected our eschatology because, you know, so many times we can build theological constructs based off of our experience that are devoid of biblical
and our backgrounds too.
Right.
I mean, we can't help but lean towards what we grew up with. That's just how, that's the natural way. You have to work to go against that, to see it in the Bible. So you got to be a committed learner of the scriptures.
Right. Which our formative experiences do influence who we are. It's very interesting because 2020, you know, we're about to enter 21. You know, this is a crazy season. I mean, I'm 35 right now.
I'm 65.
And and I don't know if I've ever seen a year like this.
Positive I haven't in 65 years.
Yeah.
I mean, the level of fear is huge. But it's even interesting with the FOLD acronym. Each one of those builds on top of each other to then the great falling away. You know what I mean?
It's like good point.
Yeah,
that they build on top of each other. Yeah, I didn't put that together.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I think I've struggled with fear a lot in my life, but I know that the goodness of God is leading me out of fear so that I don't become offended. Because if you don't hit these small issues directly head on when they're first starting to show up, then you end up with a massive fear and a massive offended heart.
Because
you?
Those four things are growing, they're progressing like this, and when we are processing the biblical narrative, we have a chance to adjust before they skyrocket. You know, the fear, we can handle it, and then we adjust our expectations, we line up, and adjusting slowly is much, much easier than adjusting in a radical way real quick under pressure.
Yeah.
Wow. Yikes. That's powerful. All right, Daniel. So I have a question for you. You've obviously directed this whole endeavor. You've been leading in this community for a very long time, but how has the Center for Biblical End Time Studies and the Foreigner Study Group in particular, what has it done to our community from your perspective?
Several huge milestones from my perspective. When Mike came to me over 3 years ago and said, you know, I'm going to do this 150 chapter systematically over 90 sessions, probably take about 3 years, and then it's just the beginning. I'm going to do it again, if God willing, and then I'm going to do it again. You know, he's not committing to it, but he's saying that if I do a few rounds, I'll get clearer and clearer. Now, you have to understand, I hear that sentence, that invitation in the context of a man who has been teaching this for over 35 years.
Right.
He has taught all this subject matter and all these chapters in various form, in various segments over the last 35 years. But he have not, in one breath, systematically thought through 150 chapters in 90 sessions successively.
Yeah.
So I was very excited. I don't even have to think. I have 1 minute to decide whether I would be the director of the Center of Biblical End Time Study. I said, yes, it was in the side room, in the prayer room. Because if I were to give myself 3 years into something, this would be something that's worth giving myself to.
Wow.
Because I get to watch this historical milestone unfolding. Now that we are in the completion, last week we finished Psalms 149, 90th session. It's not 150 chapters. We always knew it's more than 150 chapters.
Always we
but
knew.
But now.
We always knew it's more than 150 chapters.
But now we have it documented.
Come on.
Over 1,000 pages of handout. It's not expanded yet. The man of God is going to expand them in more. By the time it's over, it's going to be close to 2,000 pages of handout. Okay, but this is just round one. 1,000 pages of handout, 90 sessions, 165 chapters.
Right.
Now it's concrete. It is not just hypothetical. And what is exciting is this. 132 of those chapters are Old Testament passages, 33 New Testament passages, and I want to emphasize...
Wait, did you count those?
Yes.
Give me the numbers again. I haven't actually counted it like that.
You would like this. 132, Psalms 132. Okay,
132 Old Testament.
And 33 New Testament. 33 New Testament.
And that adds up to what?
165.
Oh, 165.
That's what you did. You covered 165 in 90 sessions.
No wonder I'm tired.
Come okay. It's amazing. And
I thought it was only 150 chapters.
And Mike spent over 3,000 hours in the last 3 years in the prayer room digging right. into the Word.
I think it's true. I think that is
yes.
true.
And,
it's incredible.
So, and it's a gift to the body of Christ yeah. of this generation and the coming generation. That's why I say this is such an important milestone. Mm-hmm. Because once we have this foundational material, the video, the handouts, and all the different things, even the synopsis, the 2 minutes thing at the end, you know, that summarized the chapter mm-hmm. that you did with Mike, it's a gift to the body of Christ. Now we can develop a variety of delivery mechanism. You know, this generation really need clarity.
Yeah.
About this subject matter for such a time like this.
Absolutely.
Because the products that we want that the CBETS team is developing is like 3-minute versions, 12-minute versions, video versions, discussion versions, every format we can think of,
right.
from the young to the old, to the homeschooling mom, to the business leader. We want every type of presentation right. because there's so many different types of personalities yeah. in the world.
Right, yeah. And so, of course, that's the podcast was one vehicle for them. We have done an Adventum series, is what we call it, where Mike talks on each of these passages, 165, in 3-minute segments. So he just gives a quick summary point. So you want to check out our YouTube channel. Just search for CBETS KC, CBETSKC, and you can find an Adventum channel, or in our channel, you can find the Adventum series. And what you can watch there is the 3-minute version of these 150 chapters if you're just trying to get an overview. But I also want to invite you to go to ihopkc.org/CBETS because we are just now launching a new course called The Foundations of End Time Studies. And what you want to do, the reason you want to look into this is because several of our teachers, including Daniel Lim, go through some of the foundational aspects of the foreigner message, which is the end time message. And so I just want to invite you to check that out because it's really cool. Benji and Gabe teach on it. Mm-hmm. Samuel Whitfield, beautiful. Stuart Greaves, different ones. But I just want to invite you to that because if you're like, man, I'd like to study it, but I feel like I don't know where to start. Well, this would be a great starting point for you.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Mike, question for you. So you've obviously been studying the end times for longer than I've been alive, which is epic. But in these...
Well, you haven't been alive that long, but anyway.
That's true. But in these past 3 years, is there new things that you've seen which you'd never even read before or nuances that you've seen for the first time?
Many, many, many.
Is there one that like stands out to you? or two. Or
after 3,000 hours of study?
I'll say this. When I announced this 3 years ago, I'm going to do 150 chapters in 90 Wednesdays, you know, evenings, we're going to do this. I kind of went, ugh. There, a bunch of folks clapped, and I kind of had like buyer's remorse after the announcement. I went, oh my gosh, this is going to be. I had no idea how much of Isaiah, that's where we started. Mm-hmm. I did not know. I thought I knew Isaiah, scale of 1 to 10, like a 7. Mm-hmm. No. Because when you put it down on paper, every phrase, I go, I don't know what that phrase means. I thought I knew it better. So it exposed my own lack of understanding. So I said, wow. This is more work than I thought because I thought I knew it better than I right. do. And I mean, it's easy to do broad strokes, but when you do Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Obadiah, that one verse 12 and the verse 13 and that phrase that no one's ever said before, almost the commentators all skip it.
Yeah.
But our group is, this 500, I tell you, they're rough. Those Q&As.
Especially the 70.
And the 70 group leaders before the hour teaching and then the small group discussions, then the hour Q&A after the teaching.
Right.
And then the 70 group leaders the next week, those 70 group, they go, what's that phrase? I go, well, you said this. And I mean, I know they're going after it. Of course, it's fun.
Yeah.
And then the other guy gives a twist and on another guy. And I go, you know what? I got to go get deeper on that. Except my problem is I got to get next week's lesson ready.
Right.
So I was hustling all the time. So did I learn incredible amount? I learned, which is a little humbling, that I was not near as informed as I thought I was when I started.
I mean, isn't that what Plato says? The more you know, the more you realize you know nothing at all. Forever, we'll be discovering.
Yeah, I believe that. I didn't know he said that, but I believe that.
That's a truth. I mean, it's like we're scraping the mystery, and the more you encounter, the more you realize how great he is.
Yeah, there is so much about the end times I do not know that I was not that aware of it 3 years ago that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So I am an eager student. I will take notes. Help me figure out what that phrase means in that one hard verse.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and I've watched you do that, especially in the leaders meeting, you know, before that. I mean, they're chiseling.
I'm always
at
taking
you.
Notes, man. I'm going, hey, great idea. I never thought about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't it a gift that we get to be part of a community where everyone's aim is to know as much of the Bible My and goodness. As much of Jesus as possible?
But those 70 group leaders that we have that lead the 35 groups, I mean, they come at 4:30 to 5:30 every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Then 5:30 to 6:30, they meet with their small group of 10. Then 6:30 to 7:30, they have a dinner with their small group to talk it again. 7:30 to 9, we go through the teaching. Mm-hmm. 9 to 10, not exactly, we do the Q&A.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a evening. It's an elephant stacked. Evening. Yeah, it's like eating an elephant. And every evening is like 5 one-hour chunks or something like that.
Amazing.
It's powerful.
The 500 went through this. And this guy, Daniel Lim, I tell you, he is one of the best leaders I've ever worked with in 45 years of ministry. He really, really is. And he looked at me like deer in the headlights three years ago when we started, but 3 years plus because we had a six-month lead up. He went like, Daniel, here's my version. You went, okay.
Well, there was 1 minute to decide.
Okay. Like, yeah. Okay. And I go, good. Thank you, Daniel.
Gotcha.
You needed.
Well, no regret. The fruits is amazing. Mm. And it's so timely.
And you know what? One of the great fruits of you, Daniel, that you have is that you helped convert Saul of Tarsus over here. Oh, yeah. He said
subtly.
He said earlier, I was blindsided. I said, yeah, so was Saul of Tarsus. He became a like, what? To a yes. And he converted everyone.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've just been so humbled to be a part, obviously, serving under Daniel's leadership. I just want to echo that. He's been an incredible leader, a mentor, a friend, and I just goes without saying, but Daniel, you've been an incredible blessing to sustain the steadiness of this program, because it's not that we're just taking, it's not just a learning experience. I mean, it's a people that, you know, and it's high level leaders who are a part of this, who are very busy themselves.
Smart leaders.
Yeah, to mobilize them to anyway, it's been a difficult task, and I just honor you for that, and honor what you've done to help even our community. I feel like our community, the way that we view the end time message now, it's more, I don't know how to say it.
There's a galvanizing and a unity and a rallying around the core message of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom.
That's right.
Because Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. A lot of folks have kind of read that quickly and thought of the gospel of forgiveness. Now, the forgiveness is the entry point into the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of the kingdom is a bigger message than the offer of forgiveness. It's a king is coming,
right,
and he's going to be confronted and resisted by the kings of the earth, but he's going to overthrow them, put in new kings over all the nations, and fill the earth with the glory of God. It's a kingdom coming. But the verse I love, the absolute verse, is the Isaiah 33:17. Isaiah said it best. He goes, they will see the king in his beauty. That's what we're talking about, the galvanized message. It's not just a man is coming back, life is going to get great. We see the beauty of a king who's fully God and fully man. That's what grabbed us, was the beauty of the king. That's the message of the second coming.
Yeah.
And Mike, I don't know whether you intentionally planned to finish with Psalms, but when you started from Psalms 96 all the way to Psalms 149, it wasn't just human being that was clapping. The whole creation. They couldn't stand it anymore. The trees were clapping.
Yeah.
Everybody was excited about a coming king. They couldn't wait.
Right.
Because that's the language of Psalm 149 and Psalm 147.
Actually,
I started in Isaiah, and I did it in the sequence because the Psalms was the hardest for me.
But what a culmination.
It ended up awesome, but I did it out of weakness because I went, I don't even know what half these Psalms mean. So I got to get the 5 semesters down before I take them on. So I really did it as a coward, but it ended up being beautiful.
Wow, you brought up the whole creation to clap.
I went, it's like Paul Kane used to say, God's going to do something that can't be blamed on man. We organized this in a way that nobody could take credit for.
That is phenomenal. I love that. So Mike, okay, I mean, I mean, 3,000 hours, and you're about to go on vacation and give some more time to go through each of the chapters, which is beautiful. But what do you see for the future of this community? And then what do you see for the future of the church as we begin to interact more with the clarity that's being given through these passages?
See, the angel said it to Daniel so good, and Daniel so clear in Daniel 11:33. He said, the people of understanding. Now, he didn't mean a group here and a group there. We're talking some millions. I don't think hundreds of millions, but some millions. Nobody knows the number. There's going to be a heightened understanding, a people of understanding. And in Daniel 11:33, it means understanding of the end time biblical narrative. It's not talking about general Bible knowledge like the book of Proverbs, which I love that. I love general Bible knowledge. I mean, I really do. But there would be people of understanding who would grasp the narrative, the Daniel 11 and 12 storyline, which is the end time ones. Then that same angel tells Daniel, that's 11:33, in the same conversation in chapter 12, verse 10, but the same vision, he says, the wise will gain greater wisdom. Wow. He said, they will see it and they will shine bright. They will. It says they will shine brightly because they're going to make the message known, and then others will have courage to obey. It will make sense of what's going on. It'll give them hope for tomorrow. So I've been praying a hypothetical number, not a Holy Spirit number. Lord, raise up a million. You know, I just say a million. That's a very small number because we're believing, I mean, thousands of ministries are, for a billion soul harvest. A million would only be 0.1%. So a million says like, wow, a million is, you know, 1 out of 1,000.
Yeah.
That's not very many.
Right.
But if a million people got this message deep, they could teach the 1,000 around them the broad strokes. The 1,000 around them don't need the 150 chapters in depth. They need the broad strokes, the 10 or 15 major negatives, the 10 or 15 major positive areas with a couple points. That's what the billion need. But we need a million that go deep, so when they talk and they're resisted by adversaries, they're confident, they're schooled, they're grounded in the word. They're not intimidated. They're not going, well, that one guy told me that's what it meant. No, they go, no, I've gone deep on the 150 chapters. No, and they can calmly, with confidence, no intimidation, tell the 1,000 around them. They can say, no, this is, you can have confidence in the broad strokes message that the Bible's teaching.
Yeah.
So I'm believing for a million, maybe it's 10. Yeah, I hope it's 10. You know, around the earth that have a bright spirit, that are a gift to the 1,000 around them, that they can have confidence and hope as things get darker and it makes sense of what's happening, that it's really things are getting lighter at the same time.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's where it's going.
Amen.
A people who know their God will do great exploits. I always love that.
Well, that's the Daniel 11:32. Yeah. That's right before when I said Daniel 11:33, the people of understanding.
Right.
It's the people who know God who do mighty exploits. They are people of understanding too. It's all one big reality.
Amazing. Amazing. Daniel, any last words that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I am looking forward to see how the Lord used this word that has been laid as a foundation for it to run swiftly across the earth.
Right.
I know that as a ministry, we will want to make this widely available to Absolutely. People. And so be paying attention. How we can serve you is critical time. 2021 will be more intense than 2020.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I want to give just a 45 seconds on what I'm going to do on vacation.
Yeah.
Because I got 3 weeks coming up, and I got the full blessing of my wife.
Get ready. It's not your typical vacation.
No, but this is exciting. This is exciting.
That's how the man of God relax.
I'm going to take the 90 weeks, and there's about 20 pages for 90 weeks. So call it 100 weeks to make it easy. So that's 2,000 pages, 2,500 pages of the notes and the transcriptions. Say 2,500 pages. I don't know. And I'm going to go through them line by line, but fast. And I'm going to locate the 100 categories. That's a made-up number. I don't know the number. Like Jesus, every eye will see him. The trumpet will blow. Israel will return to the land. The multitudes will come to the Lord. All those, I'm saying 100 categories. I don't know. And I want to mention, I'm going to note in every category where it's explicitly said and where it's implicitly but clearly implied. So when the 100 categories, I find 4 times the Bible said this directly and 7 times implied it. And then when I look at the 100, I'm going to say, now I know what the Bible emphasized.
Yeah.
Because without getting the whole 150 chapters, all those pages, you don't quite know the emphasis. You're kind of guessing it. Then I'm going to ask our team of about 15 or 20 to vet this and challenge it and say, that doesn't belong there. That verse belongs over here. And you missed a category. That goes over here. And we're going to work on that for a few months. Yeah. Then we're going to offer it to the body of Christ saying, this is our best understanding of the biblical testimonial of the emphasis on each one of this, which was emphasized most, which was emphasized least, because then we want to give expression to that emphasis. But I'll take a little while, but I can't wait.
Come on.
I mean, I'm anxious to like start like now, but I'm going to wait for another week before we go.
So this is your vacation.
Yeah, but someone says, oh, that's so diligent. I love this so much. Yeah. This is food.
Come on.
This is entertainment to me.
That's amazing.
I'll take a couple naps every day, but this is entertainment. and I'll go work out. My wife will watch some movies at night and do some stuff. But she said, no, I'll help you.
Oh,
let's do this. She goes, I am as anxious as you.
Exciting.
What a good wife you have, huh?
Diane is incredible. Seriously. Well, I'm so blessed to hear just how this has energized you, Mike. I mean, over the years, you've been the one to carry the message of the bridal paradigm, the fact that the Lord, you know, I mean, at least in my life, you were very influential in helping me to understand his affections for me and my weakness. Obviously, the night and day prayer reality, that's keeping a sanctuary faithfully for so long, even before the 20 years, the 35 years of holding daily prayer meetings three times a day in your just local church context, mm-hmm. all of this. And now this that you've been preaching on the return of Jesus for many years as well.
Right.
But just how you're galvanizing the community around it, I'm just encouraged. I'm excited. I'm so expectant on what's ahead for you. And you know, even as we are set up, I mean, the Center for Biblical End Time Studies has always had this goal to empower all believers to understand, live, and share the foreigner message. And so I just want to invite any of you who are listening as we're closing up this episode, this finale to this season one, just to pray for us at the International House of Prayer, to pray for Mike Bickle and the leadership teams here, because we want to see that the church adopt again the consummate hope of Christ's return, that that his church would again eagerly desire the day of his appearing. I'm hopeful that that's going to happen.
I got one more quickie. 80 weeks with her. Give me a sentence on her. She's yeah. with you for 80 weeks. Give me a sentence or two.
We wouldn't have succeeded without Georgie and Nani. I mean, I'm telling you, the Georgie, her personality, her care.
Can we get her on camera? Because she's led so many things. How do we get the camera on?
She pulled herself out, but she's right there.
Oh, no. She's been here the whole
Nani.
Time, too.
To
yes,
camera.
Yes. Angela, then we're going to make you get in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn the camera on her.
So Nani has been.
Where's she at? Come on.
There we go. Nani.
Those two ladies and Angela. Yes. Angela, at least put your hand and wave on the camera because that's her, right?
There you go.
We love Angela.
Yeah, Nani has been our multimedia producer, been able to handle all the tech behind the scenes, and Angela has been.
Wait, make Angela stand by you. Come on, you can still.
Angela, come on.
For just a minute, please.
Yeah. Can I say something about Angela?
Yeah, yes. please do.
These ladies have stood the whole 90 weeks with you.
Absolutely.
Even though you only did 80.
80 episodes, okay. Yeah, that's right.
So Ruben is a dreamer.
Wait, I want to see Angela. Get her over there. I want to see the camera.
We don't see Angela. How come we don't see
Angela? There you go. Stand there.
So Ruben is a dreamer, and he's dreaming multiple dreams at the same time, all the time.
Yes. All the
so
time.
He needs an octopus to help him execute and implement everything.
Wait, camera guy, we don't
so
need
true.
Us. Back to her.
Yeah. Okay, so the octopus.
I don't know if I would call a woman an octopus.
But less for all EQ. Functional, okay. Practical purposes. Think of the most awesome can-do kind of woman
octopus,
of God.
You know what? I'm going to try that at home tonight. You're like an octopus.
Use calamari.
Your neck is like the Tower of David. That one really bombed on me when I used a Song of Solomon 4. That bombed.
All right. So all I can say is thank you, Angela.
Amen.
Amazing. Yeah, Angela, without you, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. No, wait 5 seconds. Not to get over there. Just come on. They only saw you for 10 seconds. So just stand there while Ruben gives the end or something.
Well, no, I just, Nani has obviously been part of our podcast. We're about to launch a Spanish podcast here in a couple months, and Nani's going to be one of the primary hosts because her Spanish is beautiful, by the way. I struggle with my Spanish just because I'm in America a lot, and she's an incredible messenger. Mm-hmm. And so her, Naomi Thomas, and myself hosting a Spanish podcast.
Ooh. Now you wish you knew Spanish.
and then when we start season two, so Nani's been incredible. Without her, I mean, she's the technical genius behind it all. And Georgie and I are, by the grace of God, are going to start season two sometime in the next few weeks to start chiseling at each of the chapters. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have our own foreigner study group.
Is this a great team or what?
You know, it's been a blessing. I feel so honored.
You're kind of spoiled.
I do feel the wind of the Lord by bringing amazing people.
Okay,
around.
That's a good way to say it.
Come on.
So anyway, Nani, you say so.
I'm so honored to be here and to be able to, just roam with this vision and do the podcast and continue to spread the message of the end times, the return of Jesus, and most of all, the hope that we have in his return. So it's been amazing working with them, and I'm excited for the future.
Thank
so
you.
Fun.
What a
so
great
fun.
Team.
So if you have been blessed by our podcast, I just want to encourage you to share it. I know normally you're the one who goes Please. This route, but I feel compelled to say it, that this is a blessing, you know, and I want to make sure that your friends, your family members who are barely trying to figure out how to understand what's going on in society, there is a biblical narrative that grounds us in abounding hope. And so if I just want to invite you to simply share them a link to this podcast or to one of our on-demand products or anything of the sort, our YouTube channel, so that they can find information that brings hope to them in dire times.
Amen. And we look forward to, first of all, thank you guys for joining us, Daniel and Mike. What a gift you are to me personally, IHOP community, but actually across the nations. The world gets to glean from the golden nuggets that are inside of your heart. So
this is my friend, Daniel. This is my comrade.
Thank you so much. And like Ruben said, go ahead and find us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, any outlet that you have. And we look forward to seeing you in the near future as we dive into the 150 chapters together.
Peace.